pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
How is it possible that limited creatures like us can actually give something, bless God, who is already unlimited in all that he has?
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear today's message in a series titled The Power of Blessing, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching in the series, Praying with Power. Here is Alan Wright.
We've been talking about how we can envision a positive future over others' lives in faith, in accord with God's word, and speak it out, and we call that blessing, and how it actually imparts something to those that we bless. And today we're going to look into a wonderful mystery, an incredible thought, but surely this is what we're going to see today. You can not only bless others, you can bless God. Wow. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. And then verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then, you need not turn there, but just listen to this one verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want you to just pay special attention to that connection. Blessed be God, and how blessed we are. All of this is beautifully, beautifully related. Well, what do you get for the man who's got everything? You know, maybe you got somebody like that in your life, a birthday coming up or Christmas. You know, that person is hard to buy for. They're hard to buy for either because they're very picky or they already seem to have everything. You know, somebody like that, it's like if they wanted it, they already bought it. So what in the world do you get them when it comes time to give them a present? Well, if you are in that predicament, I've got some good news for you. There's a website that you can go to, and they list the top 10 best things to give to the man who has everything. I'm going to give you a couple of them just for fun. Somewhere up at the top of the list, give him a Himalayan salt block. I wasn't familiar with a Himalayan salt block. It's a block of salt that evidently you can put food on or maybe cook things or cool things on. Here's another one, a repurposed vintage record coaster set. It's a set of coasters. Here's one. Maybe this would work for that man who has everything. Colossal ice cube molds. Really? This is, instead of those little cubes of ice that you put under it, you got a mold, and you can make a big cube that one cube fills up almost the entire glass. He'll love that. And here's my personal favorite, Pickle of the Month Club. I'm not making this stuff up. You get a different pickle every month. So some people are just hard to get for because it seems that they have everything. Well, today we're going to turn our attention towards what is really a challenging question because there is a person who has everything, God. He made it all. He owns it all. He oversees it all. He has it all. He has no lack. He is sufficient unto himself. He's perfectly joyful. He is perfectly righteous. He has no empty places in him. There's not anything that God is sitting around saying, boy, I wish I had one of those. So how is it possible that limited creatures like us can actually give something, bless God who is already unlimited in all that he has? I'm trying to answer that question today. But first, this psalm, Psalm 103, all of its beauty, we must say this, although this is not my primary topic for us today, is that when you bless the Lord, when you forget not all his benefits, what happens inside of you is so wonderful that it is more than worth it to bless the Lord, even if God wasn't receiving anything from it. Whenever I think of Psalm 103, I think of a brother in the Lord named Dwayne Miller, who actually was here in our church sharing his testimony some years ago. Dwayne was a pastor. He was a singer, so his voice was his tool of ministry. And in 1990, a terrible thing happened. He had a very severe flu virus that by some terrible pattern, it attacked the myelin sheath around his vocal cords and damaged the nerve tissue irreparably. In short, what it meant was that the nerve endings that got the message to tell the vocal cords to move quit working, and he could not use his vocal cords. The only thing that he could do was use what is called the false vocal cords and talk in a raspy whisper that it sounded like this, and you could barely understand him. 63 specialists all over the world examined him, studied this, put it up on big screens, and they came to the same conclusion. You'll never be able to speak again. These nerves will never start working again. Your vocal cords are useless, and there's nothing we can do. He had to get out of the ministry. He took a kind of menial job. He fought depression, and there was a Sunday school class that met in the basement of a Baptist church in Houston that asked him to come and teach the Sunday school class. He said, but you'll barely be able to understand me. They said, we love you. We'll put a big microphone right in front of your mouth and we'll listen really closely. So he agreed to teach this Sunday school class. And in January of 1993, Dwayne says that that week, in the middle of the week, at one point, he was such in the pit that he sat for hours with a gun in his mouth thinking about it. But he remembered he needed to teach that Sunday school class. It was an assigned curriculum, and the text for the day was Psalm 103. And so Dwayne was teaching, and he was just talking about the text like this. And he talked about God who forgives your sins and God who heals your diseases. But when he came to the point that he talked about, and he redeems your life from the pit, when he said the word pit, the Lord restored his voice. Yes. And it took him about two sentences before his voice was completely back. The beautiful thing about it is that in the history of that church, they never recorded any Sunday school classes except that one. And it's on audio, and you can go online and look up Dwayne Miller and listen to the miracle taking place.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Before God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, He blessed them. Before God called Abraham to father a nation, He blessed him. Before God released His Son into ministry, He blessed him. Why? Because blessing is God's secret strategy to empower you to be all He made you to be. When others affirm you, most of the time it's because you've proven your worth. Maybe you did well on a test, accomplished a goal, or proved yourself competent. Such affirmation is nice, but it's not the way of God. God's strategy is to declare your worth before you have done anything to prove it. In the kingdom of God, blessing is the fuel for your productivity, not the reward for it. Maybe you need your heart to be healed from old wounds caused by others withholding their blessing, or maybe you're ready to shatter that invisible ceiling that keeps you from soaring. Either way, Pastor Alan writes, the power of blessing will change your life. Change how you interact with others as you discover the ancient skill of the Hebrew patriarchs as they bless their children. Learn how to tune your heart to accept blessing and reject curse. Most of all, drink in the unquenchable blessing of God in Jesus Christ. Get motivated God's way with Alan Wright's 7-message CD album, The Power of Blessing. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
For Dwayne Miller, he experienced literally what he was saying. David, the psalmist, is speaking to himself. It is not really a prayer. It is David speaking to his own soul and saying, soul, here's what you need to do. You need to bless the Lord. And what's happening as he does this is the same thing that happens for all of us. There is a profound spiritual benefit when you praise the Lord. Because when you bless the Lord, when you recount the benefits of God in your life, you can only do this in as much as you are practicing gratitude. In other words, when you bless the Lord, it is because you are saying, you are worthy of my blessing, and you're announcing how much affection that you have for God, and your soul adjusts to this. The School of Psychology at the University of Manchester in England has shown that gratitude appears to be the strongest link to health and happiness of any character trait. Another big study at the University of Massachusetts concluded essentially that gratitude results in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, energy, sleep duration, and quality. The grateful people report lower levels of depression and stress, and there's an emerging body of research that suggests that daily gratitude practices may have some preventative benefits in warding off coronary artery disease. Paul Tripp likes to say that no one is more influential in your life than you are because no one talks to you more than you do. Do you know that you're talking to yourself all the time? You talk to yourself about your past. You talk to yourself about your future. You talk to yourself about what's going on right now. Even while I'm talking to you, you're talking to yourself. And some of you are saying, is he going to get on with the real meat of this message? And I don't know if I believe all this gratitude stuff. You are talking to yourself. And what you say to yourself ends up impacting your soul, right? So David's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, soul. That's what you were created to do. Now do it. He's talking to himself. And when he does this, and when you do this, this is part of the power of worship and praise and gratitude. This is at the essence of what it means to bless the Lord. What happens inside of you is that you, though all of us have faced many troubles, you see your life in view of God's mercy. And there's a very real sense in which if you see your life in view of God's mercy, if you could see your life by the view of the mercy of God, which has saved you when you didn't deserve it, if you had known just the horror of living a life separate from God, and you saw it in comparison to what it means that you have eternity with God, it changed everything about the way that you look at your current adversities, right? There was there's a story in some of the ancient Jewish writings that tells of a student that comes to the rabbi and says, "Rabbi, how can I bless the Lord in my times of adversity just as much as I do in my times of prosperity?" And the rabbi said, "Ah, you need to go talk to my brother. He's been through many things. He can answer your question." And so he goes and he finds the rabbi's brother. And he says, "Your brother told me to come and ask you, how can I bless the Lord in my times of adversity just as much as I do in the times of prosperity?" And the rabbi said, "Ah, why have you come to ask me? Nothing bad's ever happened to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits. Think about how much he's forgiven you. Think about how much he's healed you. Think about how much he's redeemed you." As you think about these things, it changes you. But the real question at hand is, how can a limited creature like me, how can I actually bring something to God, bless God? And I think the key to understanding this is, at least for me this week, is just to think like a father. Because in the midst of this psalm, it says that the Lord is like a father who has compassion. And I think the way that to understand this is to think, well, how could a father who has so much more wisdom than the child, so much more resources than the child, be blessed by the child? And I'm just going to suggest to you three ways as we think about this together. And the first is that, well, I'll just put it simply, that when we bless God, we cause God joy. Now, this is tricky, because God's already infinitely joyful. He wasn't sad before you came along. He's doing all right before we had church today. And if we hadn't had church today and nobody blessed his name, he's going to be just fine. He's not going to be depressed in heaven. He is joy. He is joy. And so how can you cause God joy when he's already joyful? Ann and I were married for 10 years before we had kids, and this was really by Ann's design. I think I would have started earlier. She said, "Listen, we're going to have kids, and once we have kids, we'll have them forever." And she said, "So let's enjoy, you know, our marriage." So we had 10 years, and it did enable us just to really build a real deep, fun, intimate marriage during that period of time. We did some things. Boy, I mean, we did some things. Like when I was in seminary, one summer, all my professors said, "We'd like you to go work in the hospital as a chaplain all summer." And Ann said, "You know, that'd be good, I'm sure." She said, "But you know what I suggest is we go to Europe for a long time." I said, "Well, honey," I said, "what are you talking about?" She said, this was her rationale. She said, "We got a chance here. We can break the piggy bank and go and do this and travel all over, because once you start your work and then we have kids, we would never take a trip like this until the kids were out of the house and you were retired, and then we might be too tired." So she convinced me of it. We took this big thing all the summer. You know, we went all over Europe. We had a great, great time. What I'm saying is that before we ever had kids, we were having a good time. We had joy. We loved those years. I mean, if you said, "Were you empty because you didn't have kids?" I'd say, "No, we were not. We were having a great time, and we had joy." And then we had our first baby boy, and oh, how he calls me joy. I was like, what I'm saying is, I was totally joyful before we had kids, and then we had kids, and I was more joyful. "Well, I thought you said you're totally joyful." "No, I was. I thought you said you weren't empty." "No, I wasn't empty. But then we had kids, I was all the more joy." You see, joy is kind of like love. It doesn't have a quantity assigned to it. Every parent who's ever had more than one child knows this. You have this child, you love that child all your heart, and you're just like, man, part of you is like, I can't imagine loving a child, another child. Like, then you have that other baby, and you're like, I love this child. So you realize is that there was not a limit to love, right? And you don't measure it. So you had one child, so much love. Two children, now you got so much love. You'd say it just, your love just multiplied. But it wasn't limited before. This is the way it is with God. There is a way, and I speak of a mystery, in which God can be completely joyful unto himself. He was joyful before he ever made creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made the world out of the overflow of his joy and delight. But what happens when you bless him is that it causes his heart joy. It's a great mystery, but it must be true because Jesus, in describing the Father and describing the nature of the kingdom of God and describing what happens when a sinner repents, when someone is lost is found, he tells a series of parables in Luke 15 about lost things. A shepherd loses a sheep, one sheep out of 100, and goes and looks for the one sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it back. And Jesus says, and he is rejoicing. Or he talks about a woman who loses one precious coin and goes and looks for that coin. And when she finds it, she comes back and calls all her friends and says, everybody rejoice with me. Have joy with me because I have found it. And then he tells the story of a man who had two sons, and one of them went off and lived in riotous living, but came to his senses. And when he came home, the father was joyful and had a party and celebrated. And Jesus is saying, this is the way God is. When you bless him, when your life comes into alignment with his, it causes him joy. You see, there's a sense in which God is absolutely complete, and yet he is filled up afresh with a joy that comes from you speaking blessing over him. J.I. Packer, in his classic Knowing God, says that we have in previous chapters made the point that God's end in all things is his own glory, that he should be manifested, known, admired, and adored. And this statement is true, but it is incomplete. It needs to be balanced by a recognition that through setting his love on men, God has voluntarily bound up his own final happiness with theirs.
Alan Wright, and today's teaching, Bless the Lord. We've got more from Alan here in the studio, additional insights on this for your life, and a final word. Stick with us.
Pastor Alan Wright's Power of Blessing will change your life. When you make a gift this month, we'll send you the Power of Blessing as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. And when you give, you'll not only be nourishing your own soul, but you'll help broadcast the good news to someone else. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, I knew that the term blessing must mean something more than I thought it meant when I really started exploring what the phrase bless the Lord means. Mm-hmm. Here's the creator of all that is. Why does he need blessed?
It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Well, Daniel, we'll learn more about this tomorrow. But if you can envision the richness that comes into a father's heart or a mother's heart when a child is in love and adoration and gratitude, is reflecting back glory to that parent, that there's something. And we're not talking about there's a need in God. It's not like he's empty and he needs this.
Right.
But there's a way that there's something in our design as his children that is living unto his glory and bringing him glory. We're fulfilling our purpose on the earth.
Yeah.
And he, in relationship with us, is delighting in it. It's a beautiful thought. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching, delivered right to your email inbox, free. Find out more about these and other resources at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.